The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, oh man, that's all I can say after college football. Wow. We found out how bad some of those teams in the Pac-12 are. ASU? Or should I say AS who? U of who? Oregon who? Unbelievable. Those teams at home took a serious smackdown. Serious smackdown. And I said it last week. I thought maybe Utah was the class of the pack. And I'll tell you what, they went into Oregon and they literally did what Oregon does to everybody else. Got to welcome in Jeff Rich. Jeff, good morning, man. Are you as embarrassed about the Pac-12 as I am?
Well, I'm embarrassed for the schools in Arizona, but, you know, there's some class in Los Angeles, too. I never like to admit that. And that Utah win over Michigan looks a lot better after what Michigan laid on BYU on Saturday.
Absolutely, man. So much to talk about. And by the way, Brandon Weeden and is starting as the Cowboys quarterback. Wow. Should be an interesting day in the NFL, too. Anyways, just getting warmed up. A lot to talk about. So much happening in the sports world. We want you on board. 1-800-878-7529. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. We'll be right back. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If your windows won't open, it's difficult to enjoy the mild temperatures this time of the year. I'm Danny Lipfer with Tip for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about unsticking them right after this. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, deck footing, or even a backyard swing set, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. There's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag. The most common reason for windows not to open is that they've been painted shut. Start by unlocking them and carefully cutting through the paint using a utility knife where the window stop meets the sash. Bump the top frame of the sash with your hand or a rubber mallet to loosen it. This may be enough to allow you to open the window. If not, go outside and insert a flat pry bar between the sill and sash on one side of the frame. Don't start in the middle because the pressure could break the glass. Pry upward a little to loosen it, then repeat on the other side of the frame, working each side until it raises. Once you have it open, spray a little lubricant or rub paraffin wax in the track on each side of the frame. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
Hey!
Why are you guys tailgating in the parking lot?
Because Kmart and Sears are giving Shop Your Way members surprise points that are valid until September 30th. So we're waiting for them to open.
Wait, what?
Yeah, dude. Go check your account at ShopYourWay.com.
I just got my surprise points. Yes!
You should use your points towards items like a fall jacket or a cooler.
Yes!
You want a hot dog?
Yes! You want to hear some guy read legal?
Yes!
Amount of points awarded based on membership status and other factors. Ask to redeem your points at checkout. See ShopYourWay.com for details.
The 2015 Cupera features plush leather seating that will feel to your hemorrhoids like sitting on lava-hot knitting needles.
Not if you step up to relief with the power of two from Preparation H. First, use Preparation H medicated wipes to soothe as they clean. Then, Preparation H maximum strength cream to relieve pain and burning.
Now sink into that rich upholstery. Luxurious.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed.
And try specially formulated medicated wipes for women.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me as always. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter at ByJeffRich, at Dorf on Sports, and be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Jeff, I'll tell you what, man. Some really good football games in college the other day, and then some real shockers, if you will. Look, who in their right mind would have thought that Oregon, U of A, and ASU all get blown out in the same week? I think everybody was expecting very good football games. We did not get that at all.
Well, you know, the game in Tucson between the UCLA Bruins and the Arizona Wildcats was really hyped up as a, you know, tone setter in the Pac-12. What's going to happen out west? And I think that we've clearly seen that despite USC's loss to Stanford, and Stanford's bouncing back a little bit, that the Pac-12 South probably is going to go through Los Angeles, but don't forget that team up in Salt Lake. They played a pretty good non-conference schedule, and as we get into Pac-12 play, I think that they're going to strut their stuff. You know, it's been a while since Utah's really been on the national scene, and I think with that big win in Eugene, now keep in mind, the Oregon Ducks did drop one to the U of A at home a year ago, and then they bounced back to win the Pac-12 championship, avenging that loss down in Santa Clara in the Pac-12 championship. But those teams in Los Angeles, man, those are some tough teams, some good quarterback play there, and great offensive line play, especially from USC. Now, a lot of it might have been the incompetence of Arizona State or the lack of talent that they have in the trenches, but USC just looked like they had their way, you know, even more so than what we saw between UCLA and Arizona.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. I mean, it's pretty bad if you're an Arizona State fan. I mean, I think at this point, you know, Todd Graham has probably lost his mojo, man. It's over and done with. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little too early, but I just have a feeling that they need a change of culture, man. It's going the wrong way, and it's going the wrong way in a bad way. There were some other upsets in the top 25 as well. I mean, Georgia Tech loses to Duke. That's surprising, to be honest with you. BYU, as you alluded to earlier in the open, Michigan just manhandles them 31-0. Oklahoma State struggled against Texas. It was because of Texas's blunders that they wind up getting, you know, fortunate in winning that football game, if you ask me. Ohio State wins. I don't know how impressive they looked. Notre Dame, they look pretty impressive, man. They put up a lot of points in the second half. Their defense shored up a little bit. TCU, man, that was probably the game of the day. What do you think?
That TCU-Texas Tech game was epic. It kind of reminded me of when Michael Crabtree tiptoed the end zone against Texas, 7 or 8 years ago. You know, it's always an adventure in Lubbock. But I'll tell you what, the two games two games played in the state of Texas that ended within about 20 minutes of each other. Texas, you know, where all they have to do is punt the football away and play defense, and the punter can't catch the snap, and then tries the left-footed punt, which I believe ended up being a negative net there. But the way the Texas game ended with the fumbled snap on the punt, Oklahoma State just takes advantage and ends up doing what they got to do to win the game. TCU, man, do they have a horseshoe up their butt or what? I mean, it was all Trevon Boykin and Doxson. And when they can't hit Doxson on the last play of the game, Green's there for what's pretty comparable to the Immaculate Reception in Pittsburgh, 43 years ago now. The TCU, so lucky to escape. And give it to Texas Tech for running that lateral play. I think if they don't run themselves into the corner, they got a chance to pull off the unthinkable there.
Yeah, no, TCU pulling that thing off, 55, 52, fourth and goal, bam, they make the play. And you know what? It's just college football, I have to say, you know, more so now than in recent years, there's a lot of parity, man. I mean, week in and week out, you better be ready to play. Yes or no, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. And one more thing on that Texas Tech game. Brady Quinn on the color. I mean, this guy's a guy that's still flirting with trying to play in the NFL, and I think he's one of the best color analysts right now, and he's knocking on Kirk Herbstreit's door as the top college football color analyst. That guy just really calls the game, makes it flow. You know, if you watch some of the lesser games, like I watched I watched Northern Illinois and Boston College, that you can be really bad at calling these games, and Brady Quinn just does such a great job, great prep, and he's always on the spot with something you don't think about.
I'll tell you what, I've been very unimpressed with some of the color commentary that I've been hearing. Again, I even heard it, I think it was in the Oklahoma State game yesterday, where I was really questioning or scratching my head with some of the comments that they made about what teams should or shouldn't do on fourth down and going for it in certain positions. And it was even weird because, like, at one point I heard him say something crazy about Texas, like, oh, they should be going for this, when it made absolutely no sense because Texas was winning the game when they made that statement, and it would have wound up putting themselves in a, you know, oh, I know exactly the play. It was the play where they wound up the quarterback got sacked. Instead of getting rid of the ball, and they were like, oh, if they punted, they only would have gained 19 yards because they were right around the 39-yard line. But the guy winds up getting sacked and then going back to the 45 or 47-yard line. So in essence, their comment was actually totally terrible when you think about it because they lost yardage on the play. So it was more than just picking up the 19 yards. It was like 30 yards after everything was said and done because of what happened on that play. Sometimes I scratch my head when announcers are sitting there saying this or that and the other, and there's really no rhyme or reason for it. I'm sorry, but I've heard it 2 weeks in a row. And last week it was with the Ohio State game when they were struggling against Northern Illinois, and they're saying Northern Illinois should be going for it on every fourth down. I mean, they're in the game. There was no reason for that, Jeff. So I think these color commentary guys that I've been listening to have been substandard for sure.
I am so entirely tired of hearing about four down territory. This is a game where you go three downs, and unless you're in a critical situation, unless you absolutely have to go for it, the right answer 9 times out of 10 is to punt. The new age of color commentary, and it's been really bad this year in 2015. What these announcers are proclaiming is that nobody in college football can play defense, and that's absolutely not the case. You punt the ball, you play for field position. This isn't arena football. It's not about possessions. It's about field position.
Yeah, I just I'm scratching my head a little bit at some of the commentary that I've been hearing personally. Again, there's going to be those very good commentators too. Don't get me wrong, because I do love Kirk Herbstreit and some of those other guys that do call games, but been pretty unimpressed with what I've heard from some of those guys. Hey, real quickly, man, there's a few teams that are 0-2 in the NFL going into today. Seattle's one of them. There's a few other teams, the Colts being another one. Who in your mind really needs to win this week, and who can turn it around?
Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned the Colts. I think that they've got a pretty easy task with the Tennessee Titans. I got to see them in person a week ago. Not impressive. Mariota's going to be a star in this league, but that Tennessee Titans team just isn't there right now. You know, Baltimore. I think Baltimore's got the biggest game of their life. I think that their season is on the line on Sunday against Cincinnati. And the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they're playing one of the most fraudulent 2-0 teams in all of the NFL in the New York Jets.
Well, that defense is really, really good. Going to be a little tougher on Fitzpatrick today because he doesn't have Decker. He's not going to be playing. But Brandon Marshall's been getting a ton of targets from this guy, 19 in the last couple games. So I'll tell you what, the Jets have a great defense. We'll see how their offense can get things together. But ultimately, they're 2-0, and the Eagles are 0-2, and I'm sure there's a lot of people surprised about that. Chippy and the guys not really doing what we thought he would do there in Philadelphia. But on the other side, we're going to change some gears. We're going to switch topics and get into some Major League Baseball with our professor of sports, John Poulter. So keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It's Dorf on Sports. And this is Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Do you know which investment in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings. Savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Michael Harris has it. And he's over. Look! Michael Harris! Grabbed the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scores. When you talk about Christmas miracles, here's the miracle of all miracles. Watch this one now. Bradshaw's lucky to even get rid of the ball. He shoots it out. Jack Tatum deflects it right into the hands of Harris. And he sets off, and the big 230-pound rookie slipped away from Warren and scored.
Wow. And you made a mention of something along those lines, Jeff, just before we took the pause for the cause. But, hey, that's why they play the games, man. Anything and everything can happen right before your own very eyes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, game is never over until it's over. It really irks me when I see people walking out of one-possession games in football. Yeah, that play from Terry Bradshaw to Franco Harris via Jack Tatum, and you have plays like Herm Edwards in the Miracle at the Meadowlands. The game is never over until that clock hits zero.
Yeah, pretty awesome stuff. But speaking of awesome stuff, we're getting really, really down to the nitty-gritty in baseball here as playoff time is literally right around the corner now. And we're lucky enough to have John Poulter, our professor of sports, to break it down for us. John, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff. Doing very well, thanks. How about the two of you this morning?
Well, no complaints on my end. I'm sure Jeff is the same. And you got to be smiling. Your grin's got to be getting bigger and bigger because each week, as we have talked the last 3 weeks, this lead has increased for your Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, it keeps increasing, but every once in a while, those Blue Jays give us a reality check. Yesterday, David Price was throwing against Chris Archer of Tampa Bay, so we all expected a 3-2, 2-1, 1-0 game. Price throws 11 pitches in the first inning, sets the Rays down. The Blue Jays then come and hit two home runs and lead 5-0 after one. They let the Rays back in the game at 5-4. They keep trading runs, and the Rays had the tying runs on base in the ninth inning. So it's getting a little nervy at the end of the day. I'd rather be four up with a week to play than four down, but they're certainly not making it very easy on their fan base.
No, not at all. But, hey, four-game lead, increasing like we're talking about as we push into the playoffs. Look, the bottom line is, we got a little bit of a race here. Who's it going to be? I mean, we've been talking about this, you know, for the last couple, 3 weeks, just like everything else. Astros, Minnesota, now the Angels. Who's going to get that wild card spot?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think Texas is going to win the division. I think they've come along so well in the last 30 to 45 days, and they've certainly shown that they can handle the Astros, although yesterday the Astros hit six home runs to win that game against Texas, and quite frankly, I think that was the Astros' season. If they'd have lost that, I suspect it was probably over in terms of the division title. Where it's going to get very interesting now is in that wild card race, because the Angels are only a half a game behind the Astros. And if you look at the two schedules, you'd have to think that the Angels have the better schedule. The Astros play Texas today, then they've got three in Seattle and three in Arizona. And if you look at the Angels, they've got Seattle today, and then they've got three games at home against Oakland, and then they go to Texas for four games. So at the end of the day, I think the Angels are probably playing the best baseball of those two teams now, and I'm saying that on the basis that I'm sort of conceding the division title to Texas. And the Angels have been playing so well, and I don't know whether you saw that catch that Mike Trout made last night to Rob Montero of a three-run homer, basically climbed the fence, balanced himself on top of the fence in center field with his right arm, and reached up with his left arm and caught the ball to take a three-run homer away. Just an absolutely superb play. Might be the best defensive catch I've seen all season. And the Angels appear to sort of be getting it together at the right time. But I still think that their pitching staff is suspect, especially the starting staff. And I don't have an injury update, but I saw that Houston Street, their closer, went down yesterday with some kind of a muscle pull or a strain in his leg. He hurt himself coming off the mound to field a ball. So if he's not healthy, that may hurt them as well. But that's certainly going to be a very good race and a good week of baseball ahead.
Yeah, John, Mookie Betts made a great play. I know the Red Sox are way out of it, but Mookie Betts made a heck of a play to end a 7-0 game on Friday night. And I have to thank you for reaching out to me to make sure that I was watching Carlos Carrasco's effort against what amounted to a JV team for Ned Yost's Royals. You know, they clinched the division on Thursday night thanks to Cleveland beating the Twins and their own win against the Mariners. But that catch, you know, I know you. I'm probably the most active on social media of the three of us here. You know, the Mariners Twitter account even said, you know, Mike Trout, oh come on. You know, it was just one of those plays. Well, you know, what a game save. And, you know, this wild card race coming down the stretch. The Indians have a couple, you know, have a series with Minnesota coming up. Three games out, you know, two back in the loss column from everyone. You know, is it safe to write off the Indians, or you know, could this be another season like 2013 where they literally win 13 straight down the stretch to surprise everyone?
I don't think you can write off anybody in that AL wild card race right now, Jeff, simply because there's about four or five teams that are all in the mix, and they're all playing reasonably well right at the moment, perhaps with the exception of Houston that has given up that huge lead. But at the end of the day, I think Cleveland, is, if anything, is probably going to run out of time, and I guess now they're going to sit back and rue that horrible start that they had. And I remember at the start of the season, the three of us chatting, and you guys were sort of bantering back and forth between whose season was over first, Cleveland's or Milwaukee's. And the Indians have come along and played some very good ball in the last few months, and I think a lot of it comes down to the pitching staff. And as you've alluded, Carrasco was close to a no-hitter on Friday night, and of course we're 3,000 miles away from each other. I saw that happening, so I thought I'd better let you in on this just in case you hadn't seen it, because it might be one of the bright spots of the season when we look at the standings at the end of the year.
Well, you know, I can't miss a single inning that Francisco Lindor plays. I think that he's lining up to be Rookie of the Year. Carlos Correa had a great start, but, you know, as Dorf always says, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Well, it is, and you and I kind of chatted about who we thought was the potential Rookie of the Year in the American League either last week or the week before. And I took a look at some stats this morning, and if you compare Carrera's stats and Lindor's stats, it's almost like they're the same player. They're a year apart in age. One's played 92 games, one's played 91. One's had 358 at-bats, one's had 359. Carrera's got a little bit better slugging percentage and on-base percentage and leads in RBIs and home runs, but Lindor is hitting about 35 points better in batting average. So it's going to come down to a very close vote at the end of the year, and it's going to be very interesting to see which way the baseball writers go in terms of voting on that award, and especially when we're looking at two guys that only came up mid-season. Usually the Rookie of the Year is a guy that, you know, breaks with the team or comes up in late April, early May, but these guys came up mid-season and have made a huge impact on their respective teams.
Hey, John, my final question for you today, and that is, look, the Cubs have made the playoffs finally here once again. They're back. But my question for you is it going to be pretty short-lived? Let's be honest.
I think it has to be. The interesting thing about that National League Central is we've got the best two records in baseball, and the Cubs are tied for the third best record in baseball. We've got three teams in one division, probably all going to win 90 games. All season we've been talking about how strong the Cardinals are, and, you know, can we write their ticket to the World Series? But here we are with a week to play, and of the six divisions, they've got the smallest lead. Who would have thought that the team with the best record in baseball would have the smallest lead with a week to play? That's almost unthinkable when you put it to your mind.
I agree. Go ahead, John.
Was that celebration by the Cubs after being shut out by Pittsburgh a little bit tacky, considering that they basically clinched because San Francisco lost to Oakland on Friday night? You know, and they basically guaranteed that this wild card game is going to be played in Pittsburgh by not winning Friday or Saturday in this in the series between National League Central rivals.
I thought it was tacky, certainly very deflated. When you consider the way that they got in there and the fact that, you know, they've been beaten twice by the team that they really needed to catch this week, being Pittsburgh, and to your point, they really lost because the Giants were eliminated on Friday night. I thought it was a little bit tacky, but at the end of the day, you have to remember this is the Cubs. There's probably nobody alive that remembers the Cubs winning the World Series. Very few that remember the Cubs going to the World Series. So perhaps we have to give them a little bit of slack in terms of this is the first time that they have seen the light at the end of the tunnel in quite some time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think to your point about Cleveland as well, got to give them credit for not giving up either. I mean, it didn't look so great for them. We were talking about Brewers and Cubs or Cleveland and whatnot. Cleveland really got themselves out of a dog hole. And they fought, and you got to give them credit for that, man.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, my point with the Indians has always been that even though they were struggling at the start of the season, I don't think they're that far away from a proper fix, because we all know that the game starts with pitching, and they've got an excellent young pitching staff, and we certainly saw that when they were here a few weeks ago in Toronto, where they lost two out of the three games, but they could have won all three games. Their pitching was that good.
Absolutely. Hey, John, appreciate it as always. We got to run. We'll catch up with you next week, buddy.
My pleasure as always. Have a good week, guys, and we'll chat next Sunday.
Sounds good. John Poulter, professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, we'll be right back. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store. Or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
The 2015 Cupera features plush leather seating that will feel to your hemorrhoids like sitting on lava-hot knitting needles.
Not if you step up to relief with the power of two from Preparation H. First, use Preparation H medicated wipes to soothe as they clean. Then Preparation H maximum strength cream to relieve pain and burning.
Now sink into that rich upholstery. Luxurious.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed.
And try specially formulated medicated wipes for women.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Pedro Fernandez here. You might know me as the host of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but this time I'm here to talk about that four-letter word everybody dreads, pain. If you have back pain or knee pain like I do, hey, you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. I'm talking about if Medicare is your primary medical insurance, guess what? You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. Anything to help me with the pain, hey, makes it more manageable, gets my attention, folks. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for your back, ankle, knee, or shoulder, guess what? Give the Health Alert Hotline a call, toll-free, 1-800-428-1570, 1-800-428-1570. You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge, 1-800-428-1570, the Health Alert Hotline, 1-800-428-1570.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. As always, Jeff Rich in the mix with me. You can get involved as well. 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter at ByJeffRich, at Dorf on Sports, and then check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Without further ado, let's jump back out to the phones and let's hook up with Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box. Good morning, Seth. How you doing, brother?
Good morning. I am great.
Hey, congrats, by the way, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. And you know what? If that ever happens again, you can take the next week off too, okay? So don't worry about it. Those things are good to go, all right, man?
All
but
right.
Hopefully it's a one and done, as you know.
This is it.
Well, hey, man, speaking of this is it, what a crazy week in college football. I mean, we've been talking about how overhyped the Pac-12 is. We got to see it firsthand up and close in the state of Arizona, whether it was U of A, and I'm not a fan of them. I did go to Arizona State, though, so I'm obviously a fan of the Sun Devils. That's embarrassing, man. There's no other way to put it. That's embarrassing. There's no excuse for it. These are big games. These are big spotlights. These are big moments for your program and the future of it. And you lay eggs like that? Man, oh, man. This is seriously some of the most embarrassing stuff I've ever seen as a Devil fan in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't look good. Something that I saw on Twitter, like late last night, was just talking about all of the parody in college football, and it seems like each Saturday is like the start of a new season, and you can basically throw out what happened the week before because you just don't know what to expect from week to week anymore.
Becoming more and more like the NFL, right?
Yeah, I think that is a great comparison.
I mean, it's like week to week, we do not know who the best team is anymore. And we, you know, for a long time, you could make the argument that it was going to be a Big Ten team, an SEC team, and you're going to have a Pac-12 team in there and whatnot. But bottom line is, man, I agree. Parity is the word when it comes to college football right now. And it's more and more like the NFL each and every day. Jeff, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's some surprises. I think that Utah going into Eugene and doing what they did is a big shocker. But, you know, it takes a little stock off of Michigan State's non-conference slate. And, you know, you look around and, you had Stanford lay the egg against Northwestern. You know, and then Stanford turns into a world beater going into Pac-12 play. Northwestern struggles with Ball State. You know, Minnesota looked great against TCU. They struggled to escape, you know, the University of Ohio and Frank Solich coming in. I think there's a lot of parity here, and, you know, I'm going to preach it again. We can't pay attention to these preseason rankings because I look at a team like Ohio State and, you know, 38-12, you know, over Western Michigan. Western Michigan's looked pretty good against the big boys playing Michigan State and Ohio State in their non-conference slate. You know, I look around and what do you take away from Saturday's games? You know, is LSU maybe a little closer to the pack than we thought, or is Syracuse kind of up and coming?
I mean, personally, I think LSU is a bit closer to the pack than a lot of people thought. And, you know, I'll give credit to Kirk Herbstreit, who took a lot of heat for making LSU kind of his dark horse pick before, you know, game one of the season kicked off. And they look like they could be a real threat with Leonard Fournette.
Agree 100%. Hey, let me ask you this. You know, we're talking about some of these big boys struggling, like Ohio State, with some of these lesser teams, and we already know my opinion on that. But I'm kind of thinking more along these lines when I watched a little bit of that Ohio State game. And it's almost to me like these guys are sleepwalking through this stuff, to be honest with you. They know they're so superior to the competition that they're playing that – I'm not saying they're not trying, but it's almost like they're sleeping and they're almost unconscious out there. Is that fair, or am I giving them too much credit?
I think it's fair. I don't think it's the smart way to play game in and game out, though, because that's working under the assumption that if you're Urban Meyer at Ohio State, that you kind of sleepwalk through some of these games, and then when that marquee game hits on, you know, whichever Saturday it is, that your team and your team's psyche is able to flip that switch and all of a sudden just turn it on and play at an extremely high level. And I think that's a dangerous assumption to make when you're talking about a bunch of college kids.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, and I think that's the best way of putting it. You know, these are athletes. These are guys that are going out and, you know, sometimes they don't feel as good as they should and they don't perform up to their standards. And that's all it takes. There's basically what we're really trying to say here is that, you know, like in everything else, like when we're talking about USA basketball, that the margin is closed. You know what? The gap is closing. Some of these lesser schools have three or four guys that have the same talent as, you know, a USC with 11 guys who, you know, were all American kids coming into college, blah, blah, blah. My point is that some of those smaller schools are getting studs, and that's maybe why you're seeing a little bit more parity. And if they can convince a few more kids to go to those small schools, well, then they may have themselves something.
Well, and I think another part of those studs being at some of those smaller schools is you now have some real stud head coaches at some of those smaller schools. As you look at someone like a Frank Solich at Ohio, where, you know, he tried his hand at Nebraska and he had some success there, but not enough for the Nebraska fan base. So now you have a coach of his caliber at an Ohio. And, you know, you give that kind of coaching to even kind of middle-of-the-road talent, and that starts to close the gap on the big boys as well.
No, I agree 100%. Go ahead, Jeff.
And those coaches can certainly come up out of the MAC. I mean, you look at a guy like Butch Jones, and I'm going to put one on the tee here for you, Seth, because I know how much you love that orange checkered pattern. But the Volunteers look like they're going to get off the schneid, look like they're going to do what they couldn't do against Oklahoma and win a big game on national TV. They're up 27-14 late. You know, they've got, you know, and then it's 27-21. They've got Florida on the ropes, 4th and 14 in their own territory. Is that kind of collapse that we saw from the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday indicative of what this Tennessee football program is, or did Florida just, you know, just outplay them down the stretch?
I think it's a combination, and I would put the most weight on this is who the Tennessee Volunteers program is right now. I mean, you have Butch Jones, who's play calling and in-game management is taking some heat. And I would put a lot of the blame on that loss yesterday on Josh Dobbs, because, you know, Florida, they were down, I think it was 20-7. Dobbs fumbles the ball in the following drive for the Gators. They score a touchdown. Now it's 20-14. And they're a little bit later in the game when the gap was closing. You know, Dobbs was asked to run the ball on, I think, like 3rd and 11. So part of this is the play call from Butch Jones. Part of it is on Josh Dobbs for not being able to convert it. And then on that final drive where Tennessee had the long field goal attempt, Dobbs fumbled the ball again, and he was darn lucky that fumble went out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to go at you on something here a little bit. That was an amazing game. It really was. Tennessee and Florida, there were a lot of great games, but there's a team that you've been kind of very down on, and they just continue to just throw up points left and right. I'm talking about Baylor, obviously. Mm-hmm. Have you changed your opinion at all on Baylor after what you've seen with some of these other teams that are supposed to be so great?
I mean, here's what I'll say about Baylor to kind of temper some of my previous comments. They're consistent.
Yeah.
You know, they are going out game in and game out regardless of how they're doing it. And they're being consistent. Because I'll go back to my Missouri Tigers. The biggest gripe I have with them is the lack of consistency. Win or lose, just be consistent in what you're doing and how you're playing.
And by the way, they did lose to Kentucky.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it happens to everybody. Hey, out of some of these teams, like Georgia, Notre Dame, like I said, Baylor in there in that mix, LSU, do they have a legitimate shot, all those guys, to make it to the Final Four?
I think they absolutely have a legitimate shot to make it to the Final Four because of something that you opened the show with, and that was talking about the parity that, that's going on in college football.
No, I agree, man. We do not know who the best team in football is. And in all honesty, I think that's a great thing. I don't think that's a problem at all. But I think it's going to be interesting on how they figure out these numbers and whatnot and what they all mean. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think we need to make this thing a little bit bigger. I mean, I've said that before. I said it from the start. I don't think four is enough. I really don't. You know, they got to play this out, what did you say, Jeff, for 5 or 6 years or something like that?
They've got to play it for six to honor the commitment, but it's actually a 12-year commitment. I talked to Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, a year ago, and he said that this thing's solid until 2026. So, but there's ways to expand it. You know, I think that if you throw more games in, it means more money, and all these host sites and all of these schools aren't going to reject more money to expand the field.
Agree. Go ahead, Seth. Take it away.
I think the biggest component that will push to expand the field to, you know, whether it's 6 or 8 or 12 or whatever it is all this parity that we're talking about.
I mean, yeah.
When you see all of these teams bunched up like this, that's going to be what really pushes it to expand so we can really see the on-field head-to-head separation between these teams as opposed to throwing all of these teams that are neck and neck on an Excel spreadsheet and having this committee try to arbitrarily split hairs to determine who is really the better of the bunch.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough task. Let's face it. I at the end of the day, you know, there was some people on the outside looking in last year. We're going to have the same thing this year. It's not perfect. It's better. They're working toward making it, you know, more like the NFL, if you ask me, with more of a playoff type system. Anyway, they'll get there. It's just a matter of time. Yes or no?
I agree with that. You know, the best thing that could happen with college football is happening, and that is, you know, an issue, a problem was identified, and there have been steps taken to correct it. And, you know, the steps taken is this playoff format.
Yeah, agree, man. It's, you know, it's in the right direction. They're moving forward, and it'll get there. It's just a matter of time. Hey, Seth, as always, really, really appreciate you taking time out with us. Can't wait to talk to you next week, to be honest with you, bro.
Thank you. A pleasure, as always.
Seth Marenblum, Campus Press Box. Check him out. Check him out on Twitter, too. What's his Twitter handle, by the way, Jeff?
I believe he's just at Seth Marenblum or at S. Marenblum.
I think it's S. Marenblum, to be honest with you. So, now that I think about it. So check him out on Twitter as well. Check us out by Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports, and then also here, Sports Byline USA. Keep it close, everybody. We're going to wrap up this hour on the other side. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
800-949-8707, 800-949-8707.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank, as always, John Poulter for joining us. And then Seth Marenbloom from Campus Press Box. Good stuff from both those guys. Very good stuff. Jeff, did you have something on your mind about Heisman Trophy or something?
Well, you know what? We've awarded it to quarterbacks year after year, and I think that what we saw yesterday was pretty consistent with what we've seen all season. Guys like Leonard Fournette, Christian Kirk, Josh Doctson at TCU. You know, these guys are difference makers. These guys are the most outstanding players on the field. I think that if we can get off our quarterback obsession, and there's a lot of Heisman voters out there, if we get off this quarterback obsession, we could have a non-quarterback in New York City, if not holding up the trophy here in December.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely some standouts at quarterback. We know that. But I'll tell you what, that running back at LSU, making comparisons about Bo Jackson, I don't know if that's fair yet at this point. But look, there's going to be somebody. And you talked about it, too, you know, with Christian Kirk, the kid from Texas A&M. You know what? He's a wide receiver that could potentially could get it. There are some other guys out there, and it's interesting to watch and see how the Heisman race will change throughout the season, too.
Well, you know, our buddy Fred in hour two is going to bring up the freshman at UCLA.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
been fantastic.
He is. He's good. But you know what? There are moments where he shows his freshmanness, if you will, and then there's other moments where he looks like a seasoned, crafty veteran. But you get a little bit of both, obviously, but UCLA, pretty good right now, let's be honest. Anyways, that is going to do it for hour number one. Actually, flew by, to be honest with you, man. Flew by. A lot of NFL in hour number two, and then obviously anything that's on your mind, but keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports. We got Fred Wallen, Jeff Rich, and myself back on the other side. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.